In today's action-packed, inspiring episode, I will be interviewing my friend and the queen of copy, Tina Lorenz. We'll be talking about how copywriting is an excellent career choice for any age, and even if you don't have experience. Welcome to the Remote Work Retirement Show. I'm your host, Camille Attell, and this is the only show dedicated to remote work for semi-retirees, people leaving the workforce, and people working in retirement to help them have peace of mind that they can live how they want without the fear of running out of money. Before we get into the interview today, I want to tell you a little bit more about Tina. I met Tina about 4 or 5 years ago at an RV event. We were both full-time RVers at the time. She drives this massive RV that maybe I'll find a way to get a picture of it to you. And what I remember about her is I met her very briefly, just maybe a minute or two. And what I walked away remembering is that she's the queen of copy. Now, I don't know if she said it. I don't know if someone else said it. What's important is that it was said and I remembered it. And that's why I have been connected with Tina all these years, because she made an impression. So you've probably heard me talk about how you need to put yourself out there, be visible, tell people who you are, what you do, and how you can help. And that is exactly how Tina got her start. Now, in this interview, we're going to talk about some tough stuff. She's going to reveal more about her background. It's a harrowing tale, but it's an incredibly inspiring story. She got started with her copywriting business after the age of 50, and she has been wildly successful. And she's going to share all these great tips and tricks and things that you can learn from if you are also interested in copywriting. Now, she's a copywriting mentor, a mindset shifter, and a transformational business coach. And she's also offering a training or a challenge, actually, a 5-day challenge that we're going to talk about in this episode. And to learn more about that, you can go to CamilleAttell.com/copy. All right, let's get into the interview. Tina, I am so excited to have you on the show today. Before we dig into all the great stuff that we're going to talk about around copywriting, I want to let you know you are my first official guest on the Remote Work Retirement Show. I don't know if you know that.
So <Small celebration>.
Big celebration for me. I've done it. I've done a number of episodes on my own, and I thought, okay, I really need to start thinking about guests. Who do I want? You were the first person I thought of, and it worked out that you were available. So I'm really excited that you're here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Congratulations. In all seriousness, that's a big celebration. So thanks for inviting me. I'm honored that I was the first one.
Yes. And we'll talk a little bit about how you and I met and why you're here today. But I do want to set the stage that today we will be talking all about copywriting and copywriting as a choice for a profession that people can do 100% remotely. And even people who are in semi-retirement or who are perhaps in retirement, but still want to work or need to work to bring in supplemental income. And I'm excited about copywriting as an option for people, as I know you are too. And we'll dig into all of that. Before we do though, can you tell us a little bit more about your background and what actually led you into copywriting as a profession?
Sure. And if anything, this should be very reassuring to anyone that might be watching this and saying, well, I don't know. I don't know if I have the experience, because guess what? I didn't have any experience. And so just really briefly, I was on my own from the time I was 17 years old, because I had a very dysfunctional family situation, literally went out the window and drove my old beat up car to Seattle and had to start taking care of myself. I got emancipated in court and made my own decisions. But I really didn't have a mindset for any kind of what can I really achieve? So it was really more about survival for a great portion of my life, of just working in clerical jobs, secretarial, that type of thing. But always that little flame burning that there must be something more I'm supposed to do. And when I hit my 40s, I was divorced. And just to, again, make this very brief, I went through a really horrendous scenario after my divorce and ended up in a domestic violence scenario and ended up homeless in my 40s, had to go to a domestic violence shelter, had to flee for our lives with my 2 children. And that turned into a stalking situation that went on for a couple of years. So I really had no foundation of, oh, wow, you know, successful in my 40s or anything like that, as far as a career type of thing. So eventually I was very fortunate to meet my the one I was supposed to be with, my current husband, Ron, but we had to figure out how we were going to survive, because he's legally blind. I didn't have any background except office work, that type of thing. And so the kind of RV thing got involved in here, because that's how we started RVing, was because we were trying to keep on the move because of this stalking scenario. So really all of this came out of a really negative scenario, but there was something about it that I always felt like there's something more I'm supposed to do with this. And this is, it's literally happening for a reason that's going to become clear to me eventually. And this gets into a lot of mindset stuff that I work with, of just making decisions about what we do with our life. We always have a choice of how we're going to react to whatever the thing was that happened. And so Ron and I, my husband, we started doing things like selling stuff. You know, we started figuring out how to sell things face-to-face to people, and swap meets, fairs, and it kind of got bigger and bigger with what we were doing. And then we also ended up, through our RV adventures, we figured out and were hired to do promotional tours for big ad agencies. And so they were doing big giant events like Got Milk and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And we'd go to places like the Boston Marathon or the Los Angeles Marathon or the Candy Show in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And the whole point was just to put on this kind of entertainment that drew people in to be involved with whatever that particular promotion was about. They were multi-million dollar tours. And so we learned a lot about face-to-face interaction with people on that. We weren't selling anything except a concept and really inviting people into our event, right? And so eventually it was like, okay, this is all like really hard physical work. And we went back to our old mobile home that we had in Yuma, Arizona. And it was after September 11th also. And we were trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do here? And so I was looking on the internet, and I'm really the breadwinner for our family. And so I was just reading through stuff, and I was like, there was this article about copywriting. And I was like, I literally broke out in a sweat. It was like, okay, I can do this. I think I can do this. I'd never done anything online, but I went out and told my husband, and I think I found the thing we ought to do. And he's really supportive, because we needed some money to, how are we going to start doing this new thing? So we did what any rational person would do, and I sold our house. And so we literally sold it. I mean, it was an old mobile home, you know, green shag carpeting, Formica countertop, but what it had was a fabulous view of the mountains and the, you know, the saguaro cactus, the ones with the arms. And that's really how we ended up with it. It was just like, I wanted to have that view every day. And so somehow I knew to sell the view. And so instead of, you know, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, you know, old sinks and all that stuff, I went with a photo of the mobile home. I went to like the Penny Saver, Lucky Nickel, whatever it was, that was the free little newspaper. I said, here's my ad, and can we put this picture in it? And they were like, don't you want a picture of the house? And said, no, actually, I want a picture of the view. And so that's what we put in the ad. And we sold it to the very first person that came to look at it for cash, for way more than anybody else around us was selling their old mobile homes for. And even had someone parked at the end of the driveway who had made an appointment to be the next person to see it. And when they could see what was happening, they were like, you know, and the people in the driveway were like, okay, we'll take it. And that's how we started. That's how I started my copywriting journey.
That is so,
no experience. Okay.
Wow.
No experience. No, it was really just believing that I could do it is how I began.
And the fact that you use the word journey is so aligned with the way that I talk about transitioning into remote work. And remote work is just, you know, a fancy name for really a big life change for a lot of people.
Some of us have been doing all along.
Right. And I think what's so amazing about your story, number one, you are quite resilient. I mean, just going all the way back to the situation you were in that was so dangerous. I don't want to gloss over that. I know we're not here to talk about that today, but I really admire your strength, your resilience, your courage. I know a lot of women who have come out of pretty devastating situations, and the fact that you just, you know, not only got out of that, but then reinvented yourself is a really inspiring story. And I hope that people listening who can relate to that, if you're in that situation, or, you know, you're going through a situation like that, have hope.
Yes.
Because there's hope. And so moving into the actual profession of your first copywriting experience, which was this little ad for this, you know, mobile home you were trying to sell. So then tell me, and by the way, I know we're not here to talk about age, but at that point, where were you age-wise at that point?
Well, only the past few years that I have the guts to say this aloud. I was already past 50 when I started. Don't do the math, okay?
Yeah, okay.
I really want to emphasize that point because I have so many people I've worked with over the years, and it has been years now because this was a while back, but that it was like, well, am I too old? And they'll tell me that they're 49 or they're 50 or they're 55. And I just kind of laugh. Like, yeah, well, that's when I started. And the thing of it is, one of the very first things I did to start networking, which about 4 or 5 months after I made my decision, I'm a freelance copywriter. I went to a big marketing event in New York City with a copywriter by the name of Gary Bensavenga. And he's considered one of the greatest living copywriters. He's become a friend and he was one of my mentors. But he was doing an event called the Bensavenga 100 because he was the only time he'd ever done a live event and he was celebrating his retirement from writing for clients. Well, guess what? We were like the same age. And so I was going to his event to learn how to do the very thing he was retiring from. And there's a lot of story around that too, because it's that making a decision about how you're going to do that next thing. And that was an expensive event. I didn't have the money, but I did the mindset, work that I needed to do of I'm going to have the money. And so I took the steps to do that because it was cash. You had to write a check. But when I went to that, it was a $5,000 event. It was at the St. Regis Hotel in New York City. Mm-hmm. The rooms are about $700 a night. There's a concierge on each floor for you, this type of thing. And that event brought me $100,000 in revenue within that first year as a freelance copywriter.
So, that is such an amazing story. Yeah. And I think the idea that you were starting not just a job, and I think this is what you hit on it, and I want to reiterate it, not just getting a new job at 50 or slightly after 50, starting from scratch.
I don't even know if I call it over.
Starting a whole new career path, not just a career path, a business. And that's what's so about this when I talk to people who feel like, well, I've only ever worked for somebody else. I've only worked in corporate, so I only can ever get another job. And it's like, no, especially now. I mean, you did this back in the day when there weren't nearly as many options as there are today. I mean, starting a business now, like a copywriting business, which we'll talk about, the costs have to be much, much less, I'm imagining.
Well, and really, you really definitely can start as a freelance copywriter with internet connection, cell phone, and a computer. I mean, you really can. That's how I started. I didn't have a website. Okay. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about being online. And, I'm not a techie. I've learned a lot over the years, but still not a techie. I don't build websites or anything like that. And neither do you as a copywriter have to do that. But when I went to that event, I literally had a one sheet that I'd made for myself, kind of a bio. And I was carrying it in a bag. I had no website, And so I was like, I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to people and I'm going to learn about them. I'm going to hand these things out. And it worked, because I just went ahead and did the thing, And that's really the important, whatever a person chooses to do, that they start telling themselves the story of what is possible instead of holding on to their limitations. Because one of the things I talk about in my programs is that sometimes we hold on so tightly to our limitations, we'll defend them to the end of the reasons why we can't do something. And it's like we have this brick factory we're building around ourselves that we're in the middle of. I think of it like a tower of bricks, 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 and you're like walling yourself in with your own limitation. Just spend more time building a wall of limitations instead of, hey, what if you built a door into that and you went through it and realized it's all out there for you. It really is. It truly is. And especially now, this whole reboot, revitalize, rewire all of the things about your life or your business or how you're bringing in revenue. It's really important now more than ever. I mean, who could have expected what's happened over the past few years even?
Yeah, right? For sure.
Speaking of technology.
Right. I know. And the fact that you and I have both learned technology is such a testament to what's possible. When you talk about thinking more about the possibilities and the limitations. I am not a technology person. You are not a technology person. Yet we both run businesses 100% online. And so I feel like if we can do it, almost anybody can.
This is classic, if we can do it, you can do it, the moment.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So let me go back to a couple things. And then I want to shift into really what is copywriting, because okay. it's a big word and it can mean a lot of yeah. things. But one thing you said that I think is really important, and again, I want to restate it, is you didn't have a website. And at that point, there was probably not a lot of social media, if any.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, right? I mean,
2005. I've been online since the end of 2004. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe there were Yahoo groups at that point. Yeah. I don't know, AOL dial-up.
Forums, you know, yeah.
Yeah, forums. So the fact that you printed off a little flyer and took it in person and passed it out, I still tell people to do that. I mean, some people are like, I'd say, get your resume or whatever it is, flyer, resume, small portfolio, piece of work, whatever, wherever you are, whether it's online or in person, hand it out. Tell people who you are, what you do, yep. and how you can help them. And that's exactly how you got your start.
Right. Yeah. And it wasn't, and I didn't have a resume, you know? And so instead I had bullet points of things that I've done in selling face to face. So one of the hints here is bring your past experience. How do you make it relevant to the thing you're doing now? And there's always a way. So anyone yes. that's going, oh no, I don't have no story here. No, you actually do. You're just so close to it. You don't realize what, yeah. you know, maybe you increase the membership of the PTA by 50%, you know, so you can say, you know, increase membership by 50% of a large international organization or whatever. You can frame it in a way that's completely true, but that is also adding to the juice of what you're going to do now, right? So how it's relevant now, whether you're from, maybe you were in healthcare, or maybe I have people in my programs with PhDs, law enforcement, military, nurses, doctors, you know, that have decided, hey, it's time for a change. And so there's always a relevancy you can find in what you were doing to what you want to do now. You just have to find those connecting points.
The connections. I have a feeling you and I have the same eye on resumes and past experience. So,
because you don't want to put someone to sleep with it either. It's like, right. make it, you know, have a little pop to it and make it lively. Right.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's talk about copywriting now, because people hear that term and they're like, what is that? Is that where I'm like writing books for people? Is that where I'm like writing blog posts? Or she talked about ads. Am I supposed to write ads? Like, give us a breakdown of just some examples of what actually is copywriting.
Sure. Well, first of all, it's important to note, because this gets a lot of people confused, is copywriting, W, process of writing, is different than copyright, R-I-G-H-T, which is really just a way of licensing your intellectual property, you know, protecting it. It's a whole different thing. That's not what we're talking about today. So, and the other reassurance I'd like to offer is I had never heard of copywriting until I read an article about it. I didn't know what it was either when I first started. So really, it's the process of writing the words that persuade, convince, educate, attract, engage, empower, all of those things, that every aspect of selling or promoting a product, a program, an idea, a concept. I mean, it might be someone who's writing something to bring more people into their church. It might be something for a nonprofit. It might be something for a coaching program. So anything that you are seeing or hearing that has anything to do with a promotion of something, whether it's for money or just emotional involvement, whatever it might be, that's really copywriting. It could be a blog post. It could be the email sequences. When you open your email and there's emails from businesses or someone that you follow that has some type of online business, those emails are all written by a copywriter, or it is copywriting that someone has done for themselves. Mm-hmm. A video script, you know, if you're watching a webinar, any of these things that are happening online, someone had to write the words that you're listening to. And that includes even on television, you know, when you see the ads, somebody had to write those ads, right? So that's what copywriting is. And that's why I also really believe it's the most important marketing skill you could ever learn, because you mentioned, do you write a book? You could, you know, and I have students that have become ghostwriters and writing books for clients, getting as much as $20,000 or $30,000 to ghostwrite a book, right?
Wow.
But when you understand copywriting, it's applicable in so many different ways, including that one pager that you might take with you that you want to make interesting and not boring, right? That's copywriting when you start doing that. And so you can really go all kinds of directions when you have the skill of copywriting.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. My internet's probably a little slow. So couple of scenarios then. I think you already answered my question, but there are two women in my program, Remote Work School, right now. One writes children's books. The other one works in a government type job where she has to I think she writes some type of attraction for candidates to get hired. Two totally different things, but like both of those could be copywriting, right? Could fall under the copywriting umbrella.
Or kind of reverse the thought that copywriting is the core of how you do that super effectively. Okay.
Got it.
So one wants to attract people that have to do with a campaign or something. Like I have a student that learned some of the elements I teach in my programs who ended up, what she's doing now is working in Hollywood. She's working remotely. She's in California and she can't talk a lot about, it's sort of secret, some of the stuff she's doing because it's for television shows that are still being considered. So they're doing pilots and concepting them out. And that involves a lot of people and attracting the right people, potential participants, all of that. She is using one specific skill that she learned in my program for that. Right. And she immediately went to a high 4-figure a month retainer. She was able to move into an oceanfront apartment that she had been living in her car at one point. Okay. So that's the other reason I'm just like really passionate about this skill, because it changes lives, not only your life for learning how to do it and be able to create that kind of revenue for yourself or your family. And then the people you serve, the clients or the people you write for, it changes those lives as well. So it really can. And the children's book, for example. Okay. So you want to build in certain aspects of engagement and persuasion, or, you know, what makes that child really want to read that book, or the parent really want to buy that book to read to their child.
So I would imagine, Tina, that the other reason to know copywriting beyond being a copywriter, which we'll talk about here in a minute, is if you are going to do what I suggest people do, which is start a freelance business or start a side business, whether you're going to provide a service or go into a full-fledged business, knowing copywriting for your own business is vital. It's like, don't outsource the copywriting in the beginning, because like you really need, or ever, because you really need to understand how to actually talk to people about your business. And you need to do that in writing, in blog posts, on social media, eventually on your website. Would that be accurate? Would you agree with that?
It's very accurate. It's very accurate, because sometimes people, they learn copywriting thinking I'm going to write for clients. And then along the way, they realize they have their own zone of genius of something they want to create. Like one of my students ended up, she started working with me. She raised her fee. She was getting $10,000 for writing one particular aspect of copy. And what she went into is publishing. So when you were talking about ghostwriting, Julie went into creating her own publishing company. And she started ghostwriting books for very high-level entrepreneurs and making as much as $50,000 per book that she was writing in conjunction with them. You know, this isn't something you do by yourself in a dark room, never talking to anybody. You're going to have interaction with the people that you're serving, because as a copywriter or ghostwriter in that case, you become the voice of that person, right? But also then when you're learning it for yourself and you realize, okay, I want to have this business that I need to be able to promote, your own voice is what you need to be able to share in a way that's very compelling and engaging and brings in the people you want to work with, your ideal clients. Not everybody. There's so many facets of this we could talk about, but having your own program and learning how to write the copy for it, even if you do end up, maybe at some point you're saying, okay, I am going to bring a copywriter on board. Like one of the things my programs do is teach in-house copywriters for entrepreneurs how to write their copy, right? I've had funny planned obsolescence almost of clients I've had that and put their people through my program, and then they began writing their copy, right? Nice. And so the other thing it does is if you are going to outsource at all, you need to know what you want to see in your copy and not just be like, well, okay, I guess that'll work, you know, that kind of a thing.
Right.
There's many facets to it. And when you have the skill of copywriting, even if you lose everything and have to start all over again, you got a pad of paper and a pen, you can start writing. You know, you can build your life back just from having that skill.
I have learned that as a business owner, that copywriting and just really learning how to message and frame things and position things has been absolutely crucial to everything I do. So I'm happy to hear you agree with that. Now, let's move into, because you've been throwing out some really impressive numbers, $10,000 for this job, $30,000 for that job. What can people make as a copywriter? Like realistically, what does this look like?
Well, realistically, you really should be able to, if you wanted to, and I'm going to always give the disclaimer, it's entirely up to each individual to actually do this thing. It is no fairy dust, even though, Camille, I do have a wand. And if I do need to tap anyone with it while we're talking, I can do that. So, but there, you know, you have to anoint yourself as that freelance copywriter and start working on how am I going to position in my business and what do I bring of value to my clients? So, but hitting that, a lot of people have the sort of that promise of the six-figure year, that kind of thing. Well, it actually is completely achievable when you have your mindset dialed in and the skill set dialed in and the tool set of what you need to do that. So I would say very, very, very modest. It could be, and again, the disclaimer is I'm not promising this to anybody. This mm-hmm. is up to you to do this, but to even set your goals to a nice, robust five figures, like $40,000, $50,000, mm-hmm. $60,000 a year, that should not be a really mm-hmm. difficult thing to achieve once you have the skill. If you want to write for a client, for example. See, one of the mistakes people make when they start freelancing like this is they think they have to be the cheapest. They think they have to be the bargain, yes, you know, and right. it's a race to the bottom, right?
Yeah.
And no one that has a caliber of business that you might want to work with is also expecting to get the very cheapest they could possibly get. It's like, you know, going to a cardiologist or finding out you have to have bypass surgery like my husband did last year and saying, well, you know, I'm really looking for the cheapest deal I can get on a cardiologist. You know, it's like, right. you know, you're not thinking about that. You want quality. You want to know that it's going to work. And so you do have to be able to deliver the goods. Obviously, you have to be able to do a good job. You have to serve your clients. You have to be, you know, really dedicated and committed to doing that. This isn't mm-hmm. just about, you know, the money's coming in. It's like, what are we giving in value, right?
Sure. Sure. But
very realistically, like when I talk about a sales letter, for example, a sales letter is just, you know, jargon really for, especially in the online world, if you go to a website, you see, you know, a pretty good sized page where you might be going down the page and they're talking about their programs and we have bullet points of benefits and here's where you can buy. There's a button to hit, you know, those are sales letters. We call those sales letters. Something like that, you should get at least $1,500 to $2,000 for, and that is entry level to write yeah. one of those. It's just that right. part. When I first started, my very first one in that first month was, I think I charged $250 for it because I didn't know. And I was just mm-hmm. learning and I didn't know what I didn't know, you know, but they got results from it. And so then I was like, okay, well, maybe I can charge 500, you know, and I just kept moving it up until it became 25,000, 30,000, you know, that's over time. That's what it became for me. But really typically, an entry level components of a digital marketing campaign, for example, might include the opt-in. And opt-in is when you give your name and email address on a form online mm-hmm. and you might mm-hmm. start getting emails and you're going to start getting those emails. So it's an opt-in email sequence because it's going to be more than one, and a sales letter, which would be, what is the thing we want them to do? So that's what I call kind of your marketing 101 trifecta for digital marketing. A package like that, very modestly, should be at least $3,500. So $3,500 yeah. to write those components. And that's entry level. That's really yeah. entry level. Yeah.
Yeah. There's hardly anyone I know out there who only charges $3,500 for that kind of service anymore. Right. I have a...
See, that's very modest. So you can confirm very modest. Very
right.
modest.
Right. And if you just did one of those a month, maybe two, right. I mean, you have your right. whole year's salary. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is then as you start to see, okay, the client's saying, oh, this worked really great, or I sold out. That's what happened for me in my very first sales letter. It was for an event. One of the people, long story, so I won't go into that, but I'd gone to this little event that I was invited to, and one of the speakers was having an event in Las Vegas, and she couldn't sell any tickets. Nobody was paying to come to the event. So she said, well, would you try writing me a new letter? And I did it for that really small amount, and she sold out. And so then she invited me to her event. And so I went to it and I talked to other people there and they said, well, will you write one for me? And that's how I started growing it, right? And so then what you have to do is raise your fees. So you don't stay at that same level. That $3,500 should become $4,000. It should become $5,000. It should become $8,000. And at about $8,500 a month, one project can give you a six-figure year. Right.
Absolutely. I have a friend. Sorry. I don't want to forget to say this. I have a friend who was an RV blogger. I won't say her name because I don't know if she wants me to share this. She probably does because she's so proud of it. But, you know, she and I had been talking about, you know, should she stay in RV blogging? What should she do? I had always seen her as a copywriter. She was a great writer. She had always, you know, funny writer, was a blogger. But like the blog at that time just wasn't cutting it for her. And so, you know, I kept saying like, Liz, I think you're a copywriter. Like you're so good. You pull ideas together. You're hilarious. You're a great writer. You're fast. So pretty much overnight, she just put on Facebook, and this is what I tell people to do, like adopt the identity of the thing you want to do.
Yes.
In her case, yeah. It's copywriter, right? She's like, I'm a copywriter now, everyone. And then of course she trained herself more. So it wasn't like she didn't have any skills.
It's not just empty talk. We have to take the actions to become that
exactly.
person.
Exactly. And so she added on her skills. She started charging day rates. And I think her original day rate might've been $1,000. And then pretty much once she got really good at it, she's like, nope, it's going to be $2,000 just for like a day rate, right? In her first year, she did over six figures in a brand new industry.
Right.
She didn't go to school for 4 years. Yeah. Right. She didn't spend $100,000 to learn this new skill. She just took the steps, like you're saying, took the steps, put herself out there, gave herself the identity, found herself some clients, started with a rate and started raising her rates when she got some traction.
Yeah. Me, Liz.
Yes.
And so one of the things you said there that I want to just pause for a moment on is she started being the person. That's what my little joke is about the magic wand, because a lot of people are like, well, you know, what if I'm new and do I need to tell anyone? No, you don't need to tell anyone. And I mean, she did say, okay, I become one, you know, and that's fine, you know, but there's a thing I teach. It actually is called be, do, have. It's like, you have to become the identity, become the person who could do the thing that will let you have the things you want to have and let you have that kind of reach and impact. And a lot of people mix that up thinking, well, I have to do and then do and then do, and then maybe I can be, and then maybe then I'll have, or when I have this, then maybe I could do, and then maybe I'll be, you know, they get it all mixed up. And it's really just giving yourself permission, which is what I did as well. I said, I'm a freelance copywriter, and not Liz was able to say, okay, I am one today, you know, but you can also just become one, and you don't have to say, I'm just getting started, or, you know, maybe I will be, you know. You have to really know it for yourself. You have to claim it for yourself first. And that's what Liz did, what I did. And that's what you probably have done in your business as well.
So. At times. Yes. At times. It's funny though. And we could go off on a whole tangent on this.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be
an
all day seminar. You know?
I know, which we should definitely do someday, but
that's an idea.
Right. But some people struggle with, like, they probably have more skills than they think. Like, I was a corporate trainer for 20 something years, and yet I still felt like an imposter, you know, in the beginning when I was doing online courses. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Why do I feel like I'm not qualified? I am double qualified. I'm like 1,000 times more qualified than most people doing this job. Yeah. So I know people get stuck in that, but we can talk about that for another day. Let's talk about, you have, I know, a number of ways that you work with people. You've got one coming up that I'm super excited about. Can you tell us more about that? And then I'll tell people where to find you.
Sure. Yeah. One of the things I started doing was, okay, I'm going to do some live training. And because, you know, when we're talking about the fees, my fees have gotten very robust. When you talk about that six figures, when I work with an elite level copywriting client, that's what it is to work with me now. And by the way, as a copywriter, you get paid in advance, people. I just want to tell you, you learn how to do that and get paid in advance before you ever write a word for anybody. So that works out well too. So, but what I'm doing is called the Cashflow Copywriting Challenge. And I call it a challenge because it's not a program. It's actually a live interaction where I'm going to challenge you with little assignments each day. And also part of that challenge mentality is to show up for it because it's live. And I do it over a course of 5 days. So a couple hours a day, 1 hour if you're coming in as an attendee, 2 hours if you want to have a Q&A with me, where we have a live Zoom call with the cameras working. and I answer questions for those that are attending at that level. But what we do is give you that foundation. My goal is that just going through the challenge can have a transformational effect for you, really, of just understanding not only the mindset, because my programs combine both the neuroscience of how you start thinking differently and literally create neural pathways in your brain that your brain literally can change as far as what's firing and what's the way you usually think. And that brings a different outcome as well. When you change how you think, you're changing the outcomes. So I spend time with that. And we go through, what's a funnel? You probably hear about marketing funnels. What is that? Why is it important to learn what it is? How to write for one? What are the components? What are copywriting mistakes that a lot of people are making? Really deadly mistakes that take away from the believability and the effectiveness of your copy. And last but not least, for me, there is a spiritual dimension to all of this, a connection to what I call divine source. For me, it is God. Whatever anyone wants to call that for themselves, if you believe there's some source outside of yourself that we can connect with, that you can connect with personally. That's an important part of my programs as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's also what makes how I teach copywriting completely different. If you're looking for a robot or a system to do it for you, probably not, maybe you don't want to have to think that hard about copywriting, but really the heart and spirit of a person are really needed to really infuse what you want in your messaging. And that's mm-hmm. what we focus on in the challenge. And so it's, we just came off one a couple of weeks ago. It was really, really fun. People loved it, to the people that participated, because they were just kind of like, okay, mind blown, because it's giving you a whole different way to think about what's possible with this when you mm-hmm. learn copywriting.
I love it. And I love the way you're doing it as a live challenge. There's a woman who just finished my program. And when she came into it, she was in one of these like copywriting certification programs. And she had paid thousands of dollars for it. And I learned that there were almost 1,000 modules for her to get through to actually become certified. Yeah. Oh, yes. I said, forget it. Just go. I'm big on education. I love it. I'm like, yeah. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying don't wait to become a copywriter and start charging.
No. Like, that's the other thing. It's really upsetting to hear things like that, actually, because yeah. I've had people come into my programs, and there's some kind of shady programs out there that yes. they continue, where they're not really getting to speak to the main person, that they don't really have a mentor that's done this themselves. I've been walking the walk since 2004. And so I don't teach, ideas that somebody else had. Oh, I saw this on Instagram today. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that today. That this is really what I do, what I've done, and what I do now, as far as how I created this kind of a business and how I was able to do it pretty fast. Right? Everybody's going to be different. It's not a race or anything, but that you can go at the speed you want to go. And if someone wants to do it on a part-time basis, I mean, honestly, I've never worked full-time since I started this. I mean, I probably work harder now putting something together like a challenge, because there's so many moving parts to it behind the scenes. But as far as the actual writing for clients as a copywriter, is almost like, don't tell your clients how fast you can write.
Yes. Get good at it and then keep charging higher price, but working less. Yeah,
right. Sure. And because you get good enough to be able to do it faster. And that's part of how I made a really good income early on, because I learned how to write fast and get to the point of how do I construct this, instead of like, I have no idea where I'm going with this. Right. So I really do believe it's a skill that can be learned by anyone. If you enjoy words at all and like writing, mm-hmm. I think you do need to like writing at some level, but you don't have, it's actually like sometimes the people that have the advanced degrees and all that, remember, I'm a high school graduate, no college, but I raised a Rhodes Scholar. So, I do believe in education, but it's not necessary to have this formal education. Because one of the things about this is it's very conversational, the way you write. Mm-hmm. If you can write like you talk, right? It's very conversational. And we kind of break some of those rules you might have learned if you're in journalism or have a degree in English or have been an English teacher or something like that. It's kind of like, let's break up some of those things that you learned there, because it's different and it's actually easier because it's so conversational.
It's fun.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited. I'm actually going to take your challenge in February.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I am. I can always be a better copywriter, at least for my own business. Who knows? Maybe I'll do client work someday. So for those of you who are listening or watching, if you want to do this challenge, I'm going to be doing this challenge with you, at least for those of you who are doing it in February. If you are catching the replay of this, know that Tina will run more of these challenges throughout the year. Yeah. And where you can go to find this is camilatel.com/copy. And I will have all of the details for Tina's challenge, and you can get to know her there. You can join the challenge if you want to learn at least the basics of copywriting. Mm-hmm. For a very nominal, very attractive, affordable rate in 5 days. And that's what I love about it. It's short, it's to the point, it's sweet, and they get access to you, which I think is a competitive edge, like you say, above a lot of other programs. So I'm really excited about that. Well, Tina, I have absolutely enjoyed having you, as always. Do you have any parting words before we sign off today?
Just whatever it is that your viewers or your listeners might be thinking about, but maybe I could do the thing. Follow that prompting, follow that, because, sometimes we just squash down those thoughts like, oh, I couldn't possibly. Instead, what if I could? What would happen if I just gave that a shot. I took that next step. And it really is. I mean, it sounds like trite and cliche, but absolutely true. It's never too late. My youngest students in my program, youngest student was 19. My oldest was 90. And I had one of my last sessions, I had an 80-year-old who ended up buying into a gym with her daughter, and she writes all the copy for their new gym in Oregon. I mean, it's never too late. It really is never too late. And I'm walking proof of that myself. So I just encourage whatever your listeners are doing, thinking there's a thing for me out there. There really is. There really is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just love it. Be brave, be bold, be blessed by the best, and go for it.
Yes. Never too late. And always take that next step. You don't need to take the next 100 steps. Just right. Take the next one is what
exactly.
I tell people. Yeah. Fabulous. Well, Tina, thank you so much. I will see you
thank
in
you.
February. I hope that you enjoyed today's very inspirational episode. I really enjoy talking to Tina. I always learn from her, and I'm really excited to actually join her challenge in February. I will be going through her copy challenge because I can always learn how to do things better. If you'd like to join me, you can go to CamilleAtell.com/copy, and I will see you there.